6, last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, right? We talked about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And all and what that looks like in our lives, even on a practical level, we talked about last week. And so I'm going to continue down into chapter 6 because it's important because, you know, all of you have heard is, you know, karma, you know, what goes around comes around, you know, karma will get them. But the Word of God has always said, we will reap what we sow. I believe every idea might be wrapped in a new way, new ideology on bettering yourself and society and these things. But really, the Word of God has everything we need. And so in Galatians 6, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. And it says to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in good doing or in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, a couple things here I want to point out because we're going to get into Psalm 19. Because I believe in order to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and in order to do these things and even help someone else, that we need to be in tune with the Lord. Just as I mentioned last week, it means to walk in step with, not in your own timing, but in the timing of the Lord. King David was a person who spent a lot of time out in the field looking up into the heavens. The testimony of David is profound to me that God picked the smallest, that he picked the person no one would choose because David's heart was pliable. I believe, and if you notice, all throughout Scripture, God picks the person that the people wouldn't choose most of the time. Even Jesus did not have any looks that would draw us to him. It doesn't say he was but nothing that would stand out. It wasn't his looks. God has always used a different way. Ordinary people. So when we're looking at this, I want you to just keep a couple key words here. One, we want to restore someone who is caught in sin. Real simple example here. If you're an alcoholic, you are probably not called to go to the bar to help someone come out of alcoholism. Does it make sense? At least you might get tempted and stumble, right? So that's just an example. But then it says to carry each other's burdens. Well, we all know that some work harder than others, maybe, right? What is a legitimate burden? So two key things that stick out in the scripture I want you to know. Carry each other's burdens. That in its translation is to be when it's too much for one to bear. It's not normal everyday responsibilities. In fact, that's mentioned down in 5 where it says, for each one should carry their own load. It's kind of like a picture of a soldier. You're responsible for your backpack and your gear. I am not responsible for your gear. You're responsible for your gear, right? But if you're in a situation that's beyond your control and you need help, then we are to carry that burden with you and encourage you. Does that make sense? If you've ever wondered, because we live in a time where a lot of people will abuse that. Like, you're a Christian, you should just do this. You've ever felt that way? Right? So, everything with discernment and prayer. Amen? Nevertheless, one of you receives instruction, okay? Bless your instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever pleases the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. That sums up a lot. You reap what you sow. If you're constantly angry, you're going to produce things in your life. A root of bitterness, you're going to have the fruit that is dead. You're not going to have anything to give. And when I think about reaping what you sow, it's kind of like, you know, we've been on calls before in my life where someone's like, I don't know why this is happening. And you're in your mind, you're like, I kind of know. It's from a life of bad decisions. It's not instantaneous. This just didn't happen to you out of the blue. Sometimes that is the case. But in some cases, it's like, no, you made a life of bad decisions, and now you are here, right? Reaping what you sow. So what do you think it means when it says, do not... those who sow to the flesh will reap destruction. What do you think that means? People that do evil, but on a personal level, what's an example of us sowing to the flesh? Selfishness. What else? Okay, what's that? Yeah, practical ways that we destroy ourselves. Over here, anyone? Say that? Envy, yeah. But you know what stands out big time right here for me? That, because it's something I think we all still do sometimes. I struggle with it sometimes. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Why do we compare ourselves to other people? What's at the root of it? Pride, but you don't have to look at yourself. Okay, what else? Insecurity. Not knowing our value. Not knowing our worth, possibly. Does that make sense? Or maybe you're just really insecure because you want to do a good job, and so you compare yourself to others and how they're doing, based so you could feel better about how you're doing. I mean, I think deep down, and it's harder in society where everything is on Facebook and these other things, because we see these pictures of a perfect life and everything's happy, but we don't see the whole background, right? And I think that's a lot harder for our kids today too, than it was maybe for us growing up. But when you think about it, it's like when you know who you are and you know the gifts that God has given you, and your surety is in him, it doesn't matter what other people even really necessarily think, because your confidence and your positions your life in him. You won't compare. When we compare, we're not secure in him. We're saying, they have something maybe that I don't, or I'm coming up short here, whatever it is. But truth is, if we're comparing ourselves to someone else, it's because we're not secure with who we are or where we are. Would you agree? Okay, so good. We're blowing right through this message today. It's great. Now if you would turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. C.S. Lewis said, he takes this to be the greatest poem in all of the Psalms. It's one of my favorite Psalms. So I'm going to read it to you, go through it, and then we'll break it down. So this is written by David. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from heaven, yet their voice goes out into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun, and it's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And the decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words and my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. When we go right into this, what it's saying in the very beginning of Psalm 19, and I can just imagine David sitting out there in a field watching the sun go down and even watching the sun come up, watching the galaxy, the stars, the wind, everything around. And keep in mind, as being a shepherd, that was kind of a low on the totem pole, if not the lowest position a person can have. But yet this is the place that God spoke and created a leader. It is in this place right here that God formed him into the man that he wanted him to be. Now, David made mistakes, but David recognized when he fell. When we look at this right here, he's speaking from experience, and he's speaking from the profound. Now, keep in mind, it was about 400 years since the law was given when he's writing this. So you think about 400 years ago, right? You can't really. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Does anybody know what happened on this date 400 years ago? Right? They were worshiping somewhere. So David, that was a long time ago. It's hard to really know. We're in America. The Bible happened so long ago. How do we know? There was a 400-year gap. And David found comfort in the Word of God. Not only did he find comfort in it, that's primarily what he spoke about. And that's where he speaks of God's goodness. See, the heavens declare who God is, so that no one has an excuse. People go, well, what about those people? How do you feel, Sean, about the people on that island that never had a missionary tell them about Jesus? I believe God is faithful to his word. He can get through to those people without a missionary from America, because he's God. I'm not discounting missions at all. I'm saying God is God. We are vessels. When you think about it, God reveals himself, and science just now, I think, tries to catch up and says things the Bible's already talked about. If you do a search in that, you'll be amazed how many times the Bible mentions things in a small amount that science is like, yeah, this is profound, and this proves this. If you even just look up right now in the archaeological evidence that they've recently found proving the Bible in the Old Testament, you would be blown away. And these are secular scholars talking about it. Because scholars, they're going to go where the evidence is, and there is evidence there. The Word of God, David is proclaiming. He says, the heavens declare the work. And what it's saying there, when it says it speaks, in other words, it's not saying, it's a continual communication. Is what that actually means. That through the heavens, God is with a heavy sound communicating who he is. Now, this isn't in the point that we worship nature by any means. But it is saying that through that, think about it, the Magi, what did they do? They saw a star. They followed a star. And they followed a star, the glory of God, follow and led them. Then they consulted the word on what to happen. Okay, they're going to Bethlehem. And then what did they do? They worshiped Jesus. So it starts with God, I believe also, as it says in his word, has put eternity in the heart of man. So no matter where you are in the world or what your experience is, in your heart, it is built inside your DNA, I believe, that there is more than the 9-to-5 job, get a relationship, have a life. There's more. but it takes effort to walk in that more. And you can't do it on your own. And it comes from giving your life to Christ, as all of you know. They have no speech, they use no words. In other words, and you know, where else does it say that kind of in the Bible? Let's just go there real quick. Romans, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, I'm in Romans chapter 1, starting in 18, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. For although they knew God, you know the scripture where it says, you know, Jesus said, we did all these things in your name, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. That relational knowledge, that's a relational thing. He's saying he never knew them relationally in a relationship, basically. There was no intimacy in their walk with him. This new is intellectual knowledge. It's people knowing that there's more, but deciding instead to turn away from any prompts of the Holy Spirit or the word of truth in their life, simply because they don't want to be accountable, and they're going to go, hey, I'll believe there's something up there, but I'm not going to believe like you do. And that's fine, that God gave them the right to do that. But to say and to turn themselves, in other words, when you recognize there's more to life and then you just try to figure it out on your own, and you're, how many of you know, a lot of people know there's something and then they just use bad Christian examples as a reason not to pursue it anymore. That doesn't mean this isn't truth, right? A lot of us have had bad experiences. A lot of us have been hurt, whatever. The point is, God reveals himself. If you don't see that in just how our bodies work, how our heart functions, how a baby is born, how life in itself is fit together, and then you see what we make, it's not as beautiful. God in his creation, he's made it plain, but although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks. Now, obviously, this is also speaking to the religious leaders of the time. In other words, they replaced God, that they were Yahweh, that they were to worship, and they put more stock in their religious system because they didn't like how Jesus was coming. They didn't like that. They wanted to be freed from their political oppression more than be freed from their sin. Does that make sense? Kind of like the world today, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, God, save us these gas prices. God, save us from the corruption in California. And then, you know, we live in a fallen world. Of course it's corrupt. Don't be surprised. It was corrupt in Rome too, right? We're supposed to put our heart in the Lord, right? It's like, how much more do we depend on him or more on what we see happening? Politically, even. What's that? More of what we see, right? Why? Because it's easy to see and make quick calculations. How many of you know most of what you see, you don't even know if it's true? If we've learned anything, we've learned that we can fake stuff in the world today. Someone can make me say all kinds of things, and a person can even look like me, and it's not even me, right? It's a scary time when you think of technology and how it is to be deceived. That's why the church, you, me, every Christian in the community, everyone who confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, you need to have discernment and wisdom that goes beyond what your eyes see, but the pleading of the Holy Spirit tugging you in a direction in which you should go, because that is what the Holy Spirit does. But he doesn't force it, and he doesn't do it if you're not in a position to receive it. David is saying, hey, clear, how do we stay in a position to receive it? He's speaking about the law of the Lord. And he says the law, the word of God, in six different names. And then he says what each of that does for us. Now, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. That's a scripture you should memorize. Because you're like, I don't know what decision to make. Read Hebrews 4:12. The whole point of Hebrews 4:12 is that you submit underneath, this all has to be with you giving your life to Christ first, but you submit underneath the Lord and you begin to study the word. He will reveal the intents of your own heart. He will reveal what your true motivations are when you are unable to see it. How many of you know we can deceive ourselves quite easily? Then we have a lot of self-help books that help us even go into deeper delusion if we want. We can always find someone to agree with us, even if what we're doing is not right. Would you agree? So the Word of God is meant to be that anchor. The Word of God is to be the roadmap, nothing else. In fact, it's even saying in here that those who knew of the Lord but did not retain it, they didn't think it worthwhile, think about that, to retain it. There's a consequence. Their thinking became futile. In the translation of futile, vain, empty, worthlessness. Their thinking became empty, going after patterns and things that do nothing to revive the soul. Nothing. They go nowhere. Emptiness. Their hearts, and then it says their hearts, which is in this translation is your mind, will, and emotions, will be darkened. So no one in this world can say, I believe there's a God, without eventually, if they don't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they could say, I believe there's a higher power, but if they don't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, their mind will become futile and their heart will become more and more darkened. Because God reveals himself. The number one reason a lot of people have a hard time with Christianity, I believe, why I had a hard time being raised in church, being spanked in front of a whole class when I'm in first grade, paddle on the wall. I have a crush on that girl. Now she's going to watch me cry because I get spanked in front of everyone, right? You don't think that has an effect on you, but it had an effect on me. And even though I saw a lot of Christians growing up that didn't act like Christians or said things that just were off the wall, and then I got hurt and it just pushed me, but every time I ran in the opposite direction, the Holy Spirit said, but that's not me. That's not me. And then somewhere in there, it's just easier to be angry and mad than it is to submit to God. It's easier to cast blame than it is to submit to God, because when we submit to God, change happens, which means we don't always get our way and we can't count on what we see, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. We put ourselves in a position to continually walk in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't matter what we see or how we feel about it. We just begin to see the fruit of the Spirit welling up in our life when we could look back and go, thank you, Jesus. That's another part that we hit that's pretty heavy. They didn't think it worthwhile. That's in verse 28 if you want to know. They didn't think it worthwhile, so they were given over. But God in his creation has revealed himself. Back to Psalms 19. So down in verse 19, when we come to verse 7, chapter 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, it's refreshing the soul, the statutes of the Lord. So the first one is the law of the Lord, or his testimony. His testimony is perfect. There's no flaw in it, and it revives the soul. People self-medicate to try to revive their soul. People get in unhealthy relationships to try to revive their soul. People make all kinds of crazy bad decisions trying to numb themselves from pain or run from something. But you know what? There's only one thing that revives and restores our soul, and that's Jesus and his word. Jesus is the word. He is the living word, right? In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, right? Jesus is that living word. When we see the Word of God more than a book, this is the living Word of God. Well, there's a lot of translations. Yes, there is a lot of translations, but they do not change who Jesus is, who he claims to be, or what he did when he rose again. It is simply put in a way that you might understand because you might not know Old English. But if you really look at the Greek and Hebrew and the apps that we have available to us on our phone, if you were really serious, you could look and see it's pretty much spot on. It is spot on with the story. This is living and active. It's not like anything else. How you treat the Word of God is how you treat the Lord. How you view this. And I'll be honest, it's hard to get in this sometimes because it makes us begin to, it reveals, just like it says in James, it's a mirror, right? Sometimes we don't want to look at our face in the morning. Sometimes we don't want to look at our spiritual condition because we'd rather be in denial about it. But you know what? God knows our weaknesses, and this is what I love. The Bible is full of men and women who had weaknesses, and God used them and equipped them and changed them and healed them and restored them and used them mightily because of who He is. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that same God, the only God, works in our life the same exact way. So whatever we're going through, wherever we're at, we can have more in our relationship with God based on how much we invest in it. If you invest, you begin to hear and experience things different. The things that used to bother you won't. Your perspective changes because you're a new and living creature in Christ Jesus, and now your renewed mind is taking over, and you're beginning to see things through His Word. It says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. There's two simples in the Bible. One is the one that believes everything that's going on. They don't want to think for themselves, and they just go stand in line. Those people exist in the world today, right? That's not what this simple is. This is like the simple person who doesn't know, and they're coming like a child to the Lord. Someone who doesn't understand. The simple, right? Making wise the simple. The new believer, if you will. Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord, another name for the Word of God. So you got law, statutes, precept, commands. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. His commands, His Word, allows us to see clearly. Amen? That ties in Scripture, that Scripture where it says we are to know no one after the flesh, not even Christ Jesus. What do you think that means? When we look at people, as a Christian, when we're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh, walking in the Spirit, we look at people the way God would want us to look at them, with spiritual eyes. You begin to see what has God called this person to do? How can I help with that? How can I encourage that person, uplift that person? We're not looking at, well, they don't. Look at it this way. Billy Graham, they said he was a horrible preacher and that he'd never be great. I think they were wrong, right? Think about it. But someone's like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm not going to look at what the world says or what the flesh says. I'm going to look at who God has called you to be. That goes in your marriage too, right? That goes into your marriage as well. Do you look and want the best for your spouse spiritually? Do you want to uplift them? Encourage them. The fear of the Lord is enduring forever. Now, people go, well, I don't know. I don't know what that is, but how many of you, I just want to know if people remember I say it 100 times, what is the fear of the Lord in its translation for fear? Submission, reverence, respect, right? It's coming underneath, in the military structure, it would be the command of coming underneath command. Out of reverence and respect, right? The fear of the Lord, it says in the Bible, is the beginning of wisdom. How many of you want more wisdom? I know I do, right? Wisdom is how to do what? Apply knowledge. You can have a lot of knowledge, but you can't put your shoes on, right? There are people that can do complex math calculations, but when it comes to social interactions, they can't do that very well. Right? When we think about God gives a wisdom that is different than the world. It's based on a relationship with Him. I believe it is truly your lefts and your rights. It is a peace about making, you go, yeah, that's a good idea, but I don't feel at peace about it. And that's the Holy Spirit saying no. How many of you have felt that? It might even be a good thing. But in your heart, you're like, eh, I don't know. I don't know how I can say why I shouldn't, but I just don't feel like that's what I should do. If you've experienced that and you walk in that, you should be filled with joy, because that's a picture of you submitting and asking, especially, of course, if you're obedient to it, and you say, Lord, I don't want to do that. Help me. And you'll find out sometimes you look back and you're like, thank you, Lord. You saved me there. But maybe you would have went a different path, right? There's a lot of people that learn from hard mistakes. That's me. I can tell you firsthand, you know, that's not the best way. So when he says the decrees of the Lord are firm and all of them are righteous, in other words, the judgments of God are right and true. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. In other words, from your word, I get the warnings from God about the world. God can warn us mostly about what we shouldn't do, maybe. The convicting, there's a warning that comes from God in his word. Do you understand why we're focusing on the word so much? Because without it, the fruits of the Spirit, good luck. It is the word that changes our hearts. All right? When you're in the word, you will change your attitude. Try it, because we always base it on how we feel. I don't feel like the Lord's speaking to me. How many of you said that? I don't feel like God is giving me an answer. Well, that's a lot. I listen to the radio. I like to read my devotionals. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but maybe God wants to take you deeper. If we're comfortable, God usually wants change, because God cares more about our character than our comfort. Would you agree? We live in a comfortable society, though. We like it pretty comfy. We like things pretty fast. We like our food fast, our internet fast, right? We want quick answers. If someone don't get back to us right away, we might get a little mad. That's built into us from society. It's hard when the word says, be still and know that I am God. Being still is the hard part. But it says that it is more precious than gold. The word of God is more precious than gold, pure gold. It even goes more than just gold. Let's look at the purest gold. It's even more better than that. And when you say honey, yeah, there's sweet honey in a jar, but this is the honey from the honey. It's sweeter than the honeycomb honey. That's from experience he's speaking. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. That's him saying, Lord, when I'm even, there's a sin that comes and you're like, I don't even know I sinned, because you didn't know. He's saying, before I even do things that are offensive to you and I don't even know I'm doing it, or I don't even know it's a sin yet, reveal it to me. Do you see the depth of the relationship here that he's speaking to God? We're going to continue. There's presumptuous sin, which we don't have time to get into this morning. But let's just put it in a nutshell for you really quick. Presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin is presuming, I always think, like, presuming God is with you in a decision you're making, but he's not. Assuming that God's okay with something that you're doing because, you know, hey, he's a God of grace and love. But he's not. Yeah, he's a God of grace and love, but he has rules. He doesn't change because you're uncomfortable. He has rules. Presumptuous sin is continually doing something that you know is wrong, but you justify it to try to make it right, and then you want God to bless something that he was never in. Or just say, hey, is it really that bad? It's compromise with the big C, right? Well, I don't know. I don't want to be judgmental. Who says you're being judged? The word of God is true, or it's not. It's clear on our path on what we're to do. How many of you know the word of God is offensive? It offends my flesh all the time, because it says, Sean, you have to change. But what about so-and-so? Sean, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking to you. Well, I, blah, blah, blah. No. If you want to grow with me, that's where it is. I don't know, but when I think about it, the Lord's pretty clear when I'm off. He's like, what are you doing? Oh, okay. Let me know when it's not about you and you want to make it about me, right? And then we go, well, that just seems harsh, but you know what it says in the Bible that encourages me all the time? It says in the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, however, as it is written, verse 9, sorry, and 10, however it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has even conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. So your mind can't even comprehend what God has planned for you because you love him. You can't even comprehend. You know when you tell your kids not to do something because you're protecting them, but they think you're punishing them and keeping them from fun in life and you're just destroying their life? Right? But they don't have the capacity to understand it's protection. And deep down, it's love. But all they see is what they can't have. When we look at what the word is, our mind can't even comprehend what God has for us, for those that love him. And it says the Spirit begins to reveal and encourage. Who is our paraclete comes alongside. These things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. But that word love there, you know, there's different translations for love in the Greek, but this is important. Agape is what? You remember what agape is? Perfect love from God, but it's also an unconditional love, right? It's an unconditional love. The word love here is agapeo. It's the verb for agape. It means a deliberate, willful, unconditional love, the kind that chooses to love and seek the good of the one loved, not based on feelings. So basically, and that's why all throughout Scripture and even what I read earlier, you know, let's not be weary in well-doing. In other words, your feelings isn't what it's about. And it's hard because feelings are a byproduct of something that's either happening to us or an experience that we're having. And I'm not saying God doesn't use our feelings sometimes, but they're not to be our driver. There's a decision that is made. I choose to follow him regardless of how I feel today. I'm going to put the word of God first. And as we continue to do that, you begin to have, I would call them waypoints. Points in your life that you can look back or testimony where God revealed something to you because you stood and were obedient in what he asked you to do, regardless of the outcome that you might want or what others are doing, but because his word is true. You say, I'm going to trust God over politics, over Fox News, over CNN, over everything. I'm going to give him my emotions, not the news. I'm going to trust God for my future and ask for the wisdom for him to give me the steps to take. Does that make sense? It's not a feeling thing. How many of you didn't feel like coming to church this morning? Thank you. There's more of you. There's more of you. Don't lie. You're lying in church. The first part is admitting you have a problem and that you need help. There's times I wanted to go see my grandbaby. I don't want to see you this morning. I'm not going to lie. First I'm like, now we're going to serve the kids. And they're going to want a babysitter all the time. Now I'm like, yes, please. God's good. Keep this in mind. Would you stand with me as we get ready to leave? I want you to be encouraged. Sometimes it feels like this is a lot of high standard. I don't know how to live with this high standard. Well, you can't. Jesus met the standard. You just need to walk in him. That's why I love it when it says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's writing the book, but are we allowing him to write the story in our lives? Are we trusting him in the little things? Be faithful in the little. Be faithful in your attitudes of serving him and making him known. be faithful in your prayer, and mostly be faithful when you know you're off. Repent and say, God, help me. And watch what he can begin to do in your life and the encouragement and the strength that comes from submitting to him. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the precious promises that you give us, that, Lord, none of us in here have to face any trial alone. So, Father, we just thank you. We ask that as we go from this place, our heart would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, and that, Father God, convict us where we need conviction. May we give you those things that entangle us. And, Lord, may we come before you humbly and say, God, how may I serve today? How may I be a light? Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for those that are here today, that you would bless them, encourage them, and uplift them. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. May you go and be a blessing.